Let God be God. I want to talk to you in this hour about what I think is a doctrine that can make the biggest difference in your life and the biggest difference in your counseling. This is one of those things that I feel like it needs to be undergirding. It's not necessarily that you might take a whole session or three sessions to teach on this, but it's almost like something more that is caught than taught. But you may have to do some teaching on this for your counselees to have a grasp. I feel like if counselees don't have underneath them this big safety net or this foundation of understanding the sovereignty of God, everything else that you're trying to do is just so much more difficult. The sovereignty of God. So that's what we want to talk about in this hour. The doctrine of God's sovereignty simply means that God is in control. God's sovereignty is His absolute rule and control over all of His creation. That's what I mean when I talk about sovereignty of God. His absolute rule and control over all creation. Everything happens because He either directly causes it or He consciously allows it. Nothing enters history that does not come under the complete control of God. Nothing enters history that does not come under the complete control of God. And I hope this is your doctrine. If it's not, I hope I can convince you by the end of the hour that it should be. Because it's going to make a difference in the way you counsel and the confidence that you have as you approach any and every trial and broken situation. See, people don't like the sovereignty of God because they don't want to be under the authority of God. Because we love being in control. It is not just women. It's human beings that are control freaks. All of us. All of us. We like being in control. And every one of us as a sinner is a control freak when it comes to our own lives. We don't want someone else making decisions for us. And yet, make sure you understand, don't hear what I'm not saying. Do we make real, free, volitional choices? Is that what the Bible teaches? Yes. You make real choices. We are not robots. This is not fatalism. But the mystery of the Bible is the Bible says God is absolutely sovereign over everything, and we are created in His image, making free, real choices. And somehow those two things do intersect in a mysterious way in the heavenly. So don't start living like, well, it doesn't matter. You know, like the person that fell down the stairs and got up and said, oh, glad that's over with. You know, like it had to happen. But you're the one that left roller skates and a ball at the top of the stairs. I don't live stupid just saying, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. God is sovereign. I don't wear my seatbelt. I wear my seatbelt. I try to limit my fats and saturated this and that. But God is sovereign. The day that Brad is going to die is already written down in His book, right? So eat something fried tonight. I mean, hallelujah. Pick up a bag of chicken liver. Yes. It's so funny. When I was little, it's like liver was supposed to be good for you. And I love fried chicken liver. And now it's like, no, 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 don't eat the organs. You do not eat the organs, which makes sense. This thing has been sucking out filth of that animal all its life. That's what a liver is. You know, it purifies. So the entire life of that liver has been sucking filth from that animal. And then you're going to fry it and eat it. Like, that's going to be good for you. Sheesh. But that's a different workshop that I have all together. Different workshop. Sovereignty of God should be the most comforting doctrine you have. I would say, after my salvation, coming into an understanding of the sovereignty of God was for me the most life-changing truth ever. And the reason I say that is that there was a point, almost like when I know when I was saved, there was a point that I know I bowed the knee and said, oh my goodness, you mean the Bible teaches that it was summer of 1986. I was 23 years old with a full head of hair, swept back, parted in the middle. Yeah, yeah. And the senior pastor that I'd just begun to serve with, I've just come on staff in June. Now, that just been a few months, and he begins to preach about the sovereignty of God, which we were all for at first. It's like, oh, yes, yes, yes. But the further he moved along, showing just how sovereign God was, there was a part of the human flesh that was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And this Bible I have right here is the Bible I had then. It's been rebound two more times since then. It's over 30 years old. And I said, you know what? I don't want to believe this just because he's up there. He's handing out A.W. Pink's Sovereignty of God on the resource table and R.C. Sproul, Chosen by God. And I read them. I bought them all. I said, you know what? There's only one book that I want to know. Is this really what the Bible teaches? And I went through this with a yellow highlighter, and I have a very yellow Bible here. I highlighted every reference that I could say. I said, is it in the Old Testament? Is it in the New Testament? Is it in the book of Acts? Did Jesus talk about this? And I came to the conclusion, because I said, I don't want to stay here on staff and defend this because R.C. Sproul says it, or A.W. Pink says it, or Sonny Blackwood says it. Does the Bible say it? Amen. I'm convinced, the Bible says it. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, God is sovereign. He rules. He reigns. Let me give you a phrase that I've taught our church family that I hope would help you. Most people in our church family could say this from memory. God limits, orders, and controls all things for His glory and our good. I think that's a good summary of the doctrine of sovereignty in the Bible. God limits, that's how He decides how much. He orders, He can make sense out of what might seem like chaos to you. He limits, orders, controls. It's not out of control. Stuff doesn't just happen. He limits, orders, controls, not just some things, all things. And what does He do? What's the big end? For His glory, unless you say, oh great, He gets the glory and we get the abuse. No, for His glory and our good. He can accomplish both. Your counselees are going to need to know this. Desperately need to have this. So let me give you three life-changing counseling implications from this doctrine. Three life-changing implications from the doctrine of the sovereignty of... Number one, God's sovereignty means that God does whatever He pleases, so your plans have limits. The sovereignty of God means that God does whatever He pleases, so your plans have limits. And I want you to feel some of the impact of this. There's nothing, you know, I can do a workshop and I can talk, and I can quote from a lot of books, but there's nothing quite like getting it straight up from God's Word. So I want you to stand and I want you to read with me just a sampler platter of the sovereignty of God. I'm just going to give you some of what you see in Scripture on the sovereignty of God. Read it with me. Job 23. Let's not say where the reference is, but just keep reading the verses as they go up there. Out loud. I have not departed from the commandment of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. But He is unique, and who can make Him change? And whatever His soul desires, that He does. I'll say that again. Whatever His soul desires, that He does. Do we have a God saying, oh my goodness, I wish Obama wasn't in office. Oh my goodness, I wish someone was in control of the Senate. Oh my goodness, there's so much I want to do I can't do. Sad little God. That's not our God. That's not our God. Pick it up. For He performs what is appointed for me and many such things as are with Him. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Oh, I love that one. Say it again. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Now, it's a shame. We need to see more of that on Christian t-shirts and on little ceramic trinkets in the Christian bookstore. This says some of the other nonsense. You just don't see this stuff. But there it is in the Bible. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. He's not wringing His hands wishing something else. He's working. He's at work in history. He's at work right now. He's got a plan. And He's not on plan C, D, or E. He's on plan A. His original plan. Nothing men or women have done has frustrated our God or set Him back. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deeps. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other. Did you pick up on that? He appointed it. It's not like, oops, oh, now that happened and I never wanted that to happen to them, we'll see what we can make of it. Prosperity and adversity are appointed by God. This year, 2012, He already has on His calendar, even though it may not be marked on yours. Like, I'm a calendar kind of guy. I go away for 3 days and calendarize for the year. I put birthdays and days of prayer and conference times. And I don't ever put on there, here's a great time for adversity, suffering. I've blocked out several days to suffer. But I know this year, will there be suffering? Will there be trials? Will there be setbacks? Will there be adversity? But our God has it on His calendar for me already. He knows when, He knows where, and it will not be random. He has appointed it. Appointed it. Who is He who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Amos 3:6, if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Oh, how about that?